Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there such a thing as a healthy dead person? If you were to attend a vigil service, would you say that he is healthily dead? He was healthy, maybe because of electrocution. For whatever reason, he died. But you will use as a past tense. He was healthy and something terrible happened to him. But as is, would you describe him as healthily dead? I think that is a misnomer. That's a contradiction in terms, because if he's healthy, he should not die. And yet, in the spiritual realm, there are a lot of healthily dead people. Healthy body, spiritually dead. Healthy body, spiritually sick. Healthy body, spiritually well, spiritually healthy. Then, of course, the fourth would be a sickly body, physically sick, but spiritually very healthy. So you realize that there are four. Out of these four, the first one describes someone who thinks he is born again. He attends church because the book of Proverbs is for the people of Israel. It is not for the Gentile nations like the Philistines or the Edomites, the Ammonites, or the Syrians. It's for God's people. And it is a book for believers. It is not a book to teach you how to live so that you can become a believer. But all believers will study the book of Proverbs, and it will be literally the lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, helping them to live a holy and a godly Christian life. But the problem is, there are people who are healthy in body, but spiritually dead. They are walking dead people. We are not talking about zombies, per se. We are talking about people who think they are born again. Because you know of the health and wealth gospel. We started this series on the fear of the Lord with Proverbs 1:7, where it talks about the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. And here we have the fear of God mentioned in verse 7, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. This is the continuation. If you have not begun with the fear of God, the only beginning that is acceptable to God is the fear of God. To the knowledge of who God is, to the knowledge of who Christ is, to the knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is, and to the knowledge of who you are. Born in sin, continue to live in sin until you met the Lord, or rather the Lord met us and apprehended us, as Colossians or Philippians describe. Paul says, I want to apprehend Christ just as Christ apprehended, seized me and held on to me. I want to do the same and seize the Lord Jesus Christ and hold on to Christ. Because if we are physically healthy but spiritually dead, thinking that we are spiritually alive, then the term healthily dead would describe us, isn't it? If you believe in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins so that you can be healthy and wealthy, wherein is the fear of God in such a gospel? Your desire to receive Christ and accept him as Lord and as Savior is based upon a carnal desire for health, physical, and wealth, material. Why would God send Jesus Christ to suffer such a horrible, horrible death and the kind of shame that you and I cannot even imagine? That the Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, with all the power of the greatness of God that brought the universe out of nothing into existence and allow himself to be confined in this earthen vessel, flesh and blood, so that he could be like us and die for us. And then to allow himself as a lamb led to the slaughter quietly without uttering a word of complaint. He allowed these sinful people whom he came to die for to hurt him, mock him, punch him, scourged him, wove a crown of thorns, forced it down his head, and then nailed him to the cross, and then stared at him with his naked body hanging on the cross in shame like a common criminal, all because of your sins and my sins, just to make us physically healthy and materially wealthy, when God could have done both of them by his power, which Christ demonstrated. Everyone who was sick, he healed them. He didn't have to come and die and suffer to heal us physically and give us a very healthy body. Every sickness, he just speak a word, we recover. And then if you want to be materially rich, he owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He can make all of us immediately multi-billionaire. But how would that be good for us? And yet, there are more people who are healthy in body but spiritually dead in our time. 600 million are charismatics. That's their gospel. Walking around thinking that they have begun the journey of salvation when the only beginning acceptable to God is the fear of the Lord. How to put the fear of God in man, talk about sin. The sinner that we have committed against God that we can never wash away unless through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every sinner must die unless you find someone to take your place and die on your behalf. No one on earth qualifies. Because all of us are born in sin, and that's why Jesus Christ had to come down from heaven. He alone could do it, not any angel, only the Son of God himself, and he did it. That's how we can have a healthy spiritual life. Be a healthy Christian. In other words, be born again. Don't walk around as a healthy physical specimen. And inwardly, inner man, spiritually dead. But how do I know that I am spiritually alive? Verse 7 and verse 8. The criteria for spiritual health. Stop being wise, number one, in your own eyes. Stop rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop thinking that you can enter heaven by your good works, by any ways and means that you can think of that involve your contribution. That's the way of man. There are some people, I do not want someone to die in my place. I don't want to owe him anything. I am a self-made man. Everything I receive, it must come from my own hands. And when Jesus Christ is shared with you that he came to die for you, who asked him to? I don't want to owe him anything. You owe your parents for your life. Without them, you don't exist. You owe all the teachers who have taught you. Don't you dare think that you are a self-made millionaire. They don't exist. There's no such thing. Our entire existence depended upon so many people that you can't even count. Some you know them by name, some you don't even know them. Singaporeans depend upon our first prime minister for who we are and what we are today, living in prosperity and comfort and in peace. You know about him. He doesn't know you. And yet you are experiencing the fruits of his labor. And so you dare to say, I'm a self-made millionaire. In what kind of environment? In the environment of a country that he made, he designed, with his team of people out of nothing. And now you dare to say, I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer and to die for me. Because without him, You have to die for your own sin. You are a walking, physically healthy, but spiritually dead human being. And when you die in your sin, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is waiting for you. Whenever the gospel is preached and shared with you, please understand it is not a human being. It is not the piece of track that is offering you salvation. It's Jesus Himself personally. You don't see Him, but they are His words. And because they are His words, it is Jesus Himself personally. I am offering you salvation because I came to suffer and to die for you. When you say no, you are saying no to the Son of God who will one day judge you and evaluate your life and find you very, very short of His glory. And He will condemn you to hell because He is a holy Savior too. That's why it is so needful for us to be healthy, spiritually healthy as a Christian, because only truly born-again believers can experience spiritual health. If you think you are wise, you are a fool. You want to go your own way, you are a fool. You listen to the false gospel, the wrong gospel, you are a fool. Because you think you are born again, that is the greatest fool. I beg your pardon, not the greatest. There's another fool that is the greatest, who has been given the right gospel according to Scripture and still turned his back. That is the greatest fool. Because that one has a false gospel. He sincerely believed the false gospel. That's a fool, yes. But is he the greatest? The greatest is when you are given the right gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ's words according to Scripture, which means Jesus Christ personally is offering you salvation to save you from your sin, cost you nothing other than to think very carefully. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want any good works from you. All you need to do is to stretch out your hand and believe. That's it. Receive it. Doesn't matter who you are, no matter how terrible your sins are, He can save you. You can be the murderer of 6 million Jews. He will save you. Whatever your sin, your crime might be, He will save you. That's why He came. And there is no sinner who committed whatever sins that His blood cannot wash away. All you need is to simply believe. But if you think you're smarter, if you think you're wiser, then you are a walking, physically alive, dead man. And so the Lord says, be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord. You don't want Him to be angry with you. You don't want to remain in a state and condition of sin, because He will judge and condemn you. And there are those fools who say, I don't mind going to hell. You don't mind going to hell. What God says to you is, I love you enough, undeserving sinner. I mind. You don't mind, but I mind. I mind you going to hell. That's why I sent my only begotten Son to suffer and to die for you so that you do not need to go to hell. You don't mind, I mind, God says. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why the fear of God is so important. Because otherwise we will not depart from evil. All who are truly born again, you do not only have the Holy Spirit dragging you, pulling you away from evil, convicting you of your sin. The moment you hold on to evil, such as an unforgiving spirit and all kinds of transgressions you commit, He will take the peace away from you that you first experienced when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, the peace that you have made with God that cost Jesus Christ His life's blood. And the moment He takes that peace away from you, you may be physically healthy, but you are now spiritually sick. You walk around without a smile on your face because in the inner man, you know you are hiding on to sin. The man can't see, but your God in heaven, your Lord, He sees and He knows. And unless and until you repent of your sin, depart from evil, that peace, that you once experienced and enjoyed that allow you to sleep like a baby every night will be snatched away from you until you repent. Isn't that a good God? And the moment you repent of your sin, the moment you turn your back and run away from evil, peace will return immediately, not in drips and drabs, in its entire copious amount, rush back into your heart. And the burden is lifted, and now you are physically healthy and spiritually healthy. That's how. That's what the verse says. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones, right? When you depart from evil, because you fear God, there are a lot of people depart from evil for other reasons. They depart from evil because they are scared of getting caught by their wife, and so they dare not commit adultery. They depart from evil because they are afraid of the police, and therefore they run and they hide. They depart from evil because they are so scared of getting caught by the police. But when you depart from evil because of the fear of the Lord that is sincere, that is genuine, you run to God, you run to Christ. You don't run away from Christ. You run toward him. Because when you depart from evil, the only way that you can depart from evil, not by your own strength, is through Christ. Where the evil will be forgiven, washed, and cleansed by the blood of Christ. That's why you can run toward the Savior who is holy, because now you are holy. Those who run away from the police, those who run and hide from people because they're afraid of the shame that may come, they hold on to sin. They continue to have these sinful desires. It's just that they dare not act it out. They are still greedy. They are still full of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's why they run away from police, because they still have this guilty conscience. But a person who runs away from evil, they have been washed away by the blood of the Savior. They don't run away from God, they run toward God. Judas Iscariot, convicted of his sin, he wanted to run away from his betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He went back to the priest and the Sanhedrin council. I don't want this money anymore. He threw it back at their feet. They don't want it. They use it to buy a piece of land to bury the nameless ones. The field of blood. That's what it's called, Alkadema. But when Peter repented of his sin after denying the Lord three times, did he run to suicide like Judas? He ran back to the Savior who renewed his service and his love. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That is how we run away from evil, by running to Christ and let the evil be washed away from our lives. And then you will experience the health to your navel. The navel here describes the umbilical cord, the inner being. Of course, you know what marrow to the bones is. Is that is found inside the bone, the center of the bone. Without marrow, it cannot produce white cells that will help us fight infection. Without marrow in the bone, there is no red blood cells that we need to carry oxygen to the rest of the body. Without marrow, there is no platelets that we need to stop bleeding. That's how important marrow is to the bone. In other words, without the fear of God, you don't have spiritual life. Just like without marrow, you'll be sickly, you will die. Just like health to the navel, right to the very inner being where the baby is born. That this body can support another life, umbilical cord, linked to the womb, to give life to another soul. What you do will not bring any blessing to anyone. But once you are spiritually healthy, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, filling you, leading you, guiding you. Every time you pray for the Lord's filling of the Holy Spirit, before you teach and preach God's word, before you serve him, do you know what that means? God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to do exactly this, to dwell in us, to fill us, to guide us, to help us. And so if the Holy Spirit is helping you teach the children, why would God the Father not take your lesson your teaching that you have taught, having prepared it very diligently and prayerfully, and you have taught it passionately and accurately. Why would God the Father and God the Son not take the word of God and bring conviction and conversion to the young hearts, which was exactly what God has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to enable us to do that? And if God the Father says, even after you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to take the lesson that you have prepared faithfully and prayerfully and preached and taught accurately and passionately to bring conviction, then God himself would have lied to us. God himself would have transgressed. Then why do you send the Holy Spirit, God, if you're not going to bless the ministry that has been filled and led and guided by the Holy Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit is the one that is teaching this word to the children? Why would you not take the word of God taught by the Spirit of God? It may be my voice, but they are not my words. They are the Lord's word. Why would God the Son and God the Father not take the ministry of the Holy Spirit and bring conviction and conversion? Then God would be lying to us. Then God himself would have transgressed, would it not? That's how important the Spirit of God is. It will bring conviction to our heart. That is why when we pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's not just simply some doctrinal truth and you don't realize the fullness of the impact and significance of that doctrine. That's how we do spiritual work. That's how we are spiritually healthy, because it is the Holy Spirit who dwells in us to give us that spiritual ability to be a blessing to people, to help us understand God's word, to live holy and righteous lives. That's how we demonstrate to the whole world that the God who created this heaven and earth loved us, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for us, even though it happened 2,000 years ago. But the impact of Christ's death and resurrection at Calvary continued to have the same potency to save any sinner today. That all you need is to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead for your justification, and you will be born again and not be a castaway, not be ashamed, not be disappointed. Don't be a walking, physically healthy specimen of a human being made in God's image, but in the inner man, you know whether you are spiritually dead or alive. When you don't have the fear of God, when you continue to run toward evil instead of running away from evil. And the only way to run away from evil is with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, where the blood of the Lord will wash away all your evil and all your sin by your genuine, sincere repentance. Then you will run toward God, because now you are holy. It's when you are in sin, you run far away from him. And once you are holy, like God is holy, you run toward him. Is this your experience? That is an evidence of a spiritually healthy person, because that's the criteria described in these two verses. And to maintain it, verse 9, you've got to maintain it. If you do not maintain it, then it will be sporadic. Healthy one moment, spiritually speaking, and then the next day, sick again. God doesn't want us to have this kind of experience, physically as well as spiritually, right? Nobody likes to be sick physically. It saps us of every ounce of energy. We can't think properly. We can't sleep properly. We can't even get out of bed. It's a miserable feeling. It's so nice to be spiritually or physically healthy, isn't it? To have the appetite to eat, just like the spiritual realm too. To have the spiritual appetite to worship, to praise the Lord, to study God's word, to fellowship with godly believers, and not run away and avoid them because of your sin. And that's what the Bible says in verse 9. Maintain good health. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. Why? Because what usually makes us sick? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh are A desire for what things? Physical things. Lust of the eye, same thing. Pride of life, the praises of man. All the three sins that the Bible described that characterize the sinful man are all focused on the material world. Pride of life, we want people to say nice things about us. We want to please men, and we want men to pat us on the back and accept us and receive us, and so we compromise. Material things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, material things. Wealth, the luxurious life. Once you've tasted it, so hard to let go, isn't it? And that's why the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. When you honor him with the substance, means whatever God asks you to do, you do. As far as the things of the world, the physical, are concerned. First, give of your tithe and offering. That's how you honor the Lord. 10%. That's the meaning of the word tithe. Give. Not to buy favors. Give because you love him. That's it, period. Because when you give of your 10%, it is your way of acknowledging to God, everything I own is yours. It's not 10% give to God, 90% I do what I want. No, 100% belong to God. God says, 10% you give to me because you love me, for the support of God's people in the days of the Old Testament, that would be the priests and the Levites. God gave them no inheritance of the land, but the responsibility to study God's word and to preach and teach God's word to the 12 tribes, so that Israel will be a spiritual nation. And in the meantime, the 12 tribes will work the land. God will bless the labor of their hands when they farm, when they shepherd, when they do business, so that God required them to give tithe to support the Levites, the first fruits, the priests. When the physical well-being of the priests and Levites are taken care of by the 12 tribes offering as they honor the Lord, they can concentrate on their spiritual life, continue to study God's word so that they can teach the word of God to the 12 tribes so they can be a spiritual people. This was God's arrangement during the time of the theocracy, which ended up becoming the period of Judges. But this was the way that God wanted them to manage material things. Same for us today in terms of the principle. You give of your tithe and offering, knowing that 90%, God says, you are now responsible to how you use the 90% for your spiritual well-being. I will take the 10% for God's work and for God's people, handled by the Board of Elders, the most spiritual people in the church. Whereas the 90% is your responsibility, where one day you have to give an account to me and how you manage every cent of that 90%. But the 10%, I will hold the Board of Elders responsible for how the 10% of all of God's people will be managed and used for the extension of God's kingdom, for the defense of the faith, and for the blessing and encouragement of God's children. That's how we honor the Lord. So when the Lord entrusted you with material responsibilities today, you make sure that they are used spiritually. That's our duty and responsibility for them too. If they do not give of their first fruits and their tithe, the priests and the Levites will not be able to feed themselves and their families, which means they have to go out of their Levitical cities to look for food to feed their family, their wives and their children, which means they will have no time to study God's word. They have no time to preach and teach God's word because they will be ignorant of God's word, and which means whatever they have to teach the 12 tribes would be completely their own thinking, no longer God's word. That means the 12 tribes will no longer be spiritual, they'll be carnal, because the priests and the Levites could not spend time to study God's word because they are hungry. The wives say, we have no food. Mr. Priest, Mr. Levi, please provide. The children are hungry, they are crying, they are starving. And so they have to stop studying the Bible, go out and look for food. You see the vicious cycle, which was exactly what happened in the period of Judges for over 350 years. And therefore, to maintain, you have to honor the Lord with your substance, because the same substance that you can use to honor the Lord, the devil can use to make you spiritually sick again. So we have young people who are very, very physically healthy and spiritually healthy. If they are truly born again as a young person, where their only responsibility at that age as a student on their books, mom and dad take care of all the financial challenges and all the burdens of adulthood. You just focus on your studies, my son, my daughter. And so they experience physical health as young people, eating well, and spiritually they spend time in the study of God's word, they spend time in service, and they love to attend all the YF and the YAF and so on until they grow older. Now they get married, they have a boyfriend, they have a girlfriend, now they have another person's emotional and spiritual well-being to care for. And then once they get married and they have children, now you have the whole baggage, the whole weight of the financial burden on their shoulders. And that's where the real test will come, isn't it? Will they be able to maintain their spiritual health as now they have the burden of, or the mortgage, especially in Singapore? Even when you buy an HDB flat, it's going to cost you six figure. You've got to borrow money from the bank, which means you've got to hold on to your job to pay your monthly mortgage. And that burden is real. Will it choke and suffocate you, whereby you stop honoring the Lord with your substance, telling the Lord, Lord, when I have enough money to pay for all my mortgages and all my food and all my clothing for my children, then I give you my tithe and offering? Is that your thinking? That was their thinking in the time of Malachi. That's why they never felt satisfied. No matter how hard they work, the emptiness within their soul is always there. Because they have robbed from God, thinking that you will only give when you have satisfied all your carnal needs and carnal responsibilities. When God says, you will never give, you will never honor me with your substance if that is your thinking. Because that is not the life of faith, that's a life of materialism. No better, no different from the world. You are now physically healthy, but spiritually sick. And you do not maintain it and learn how to honor the Lord with your substance. You may be born again, because this is for someone who is born again. The book of Proverbs is for a believer, teaching him how to live the life of an obedient, holy believer. Are you honoring the Lord with your substance? Learning to give 10% of all the Lord has given. Don't you dare ask gross or net after minus CPA. Don't you dare ask that kind of question. You ask God now. Lord, net or gross? Then when you pray for the Lord to give wisdom to your children to study hard, the Lord will say the same to you, net or gross? Do you want net or gross? What kind of blessing do you want to give to your children? Net or gross? Gross means distinction. Net, 51% I've just passed. Which one do you want? You want pass, right? Pass with A or pass with D? Do you want to talk to God that way in a miserly fashion? Out of love. People who give out of love never think that way, and they definitely dare not talk that way. They just give. God says 10%, you probably give more. It doesn't matter. It's to my Lord. You love him. You love him. And when God take what you have given and give to someone who just simply cried to the Lord for help, and somehow the Lord moved the heart of the board of elders and give to this person who just simply prayed and asked the Lord for help, and the financial help comes. The person's faith is strengthened. The person's walk and trust in the Lord is deepened because of your tithe and your offering. Do you not want that? That's what God wants for you. that you learn to honor him with your substance, so that the substance that he entrusted to you will not turn around and make you sick because you become greedy, you become very materialistic when you do not know how to honor him with your substance. You need to maintain your good spiritual health. Even when you are physically sick, you are still spiritually strong and healthy. It doesn't matter. Take care of your spiritual well-being by managing how to honor the Lord with your substance, knowing that it comes from him and he gave it to you according to the measure of faith that you have. As you focus on your spiritual well-being, which means he knows that you can manage it well. Manage it from a spiritual perspective all the time, to help you become more effective in service, to help you become more knowledgeable in the Word of God. Buy the computer you need, buy the spiritual commentaries and material that you need to help you. Do whatever it takes. Use material things. Don't let material things use you. That's how you honor the Lord for his glory. And finally, criteria for spiritual health, maintaining spiritual health, then you experience spiritual health. The presence of God in your life will be so real and so strong. And once you have tasted it and you keep on tasting it, you don't want anything else. There is nothing the world offers you that will be sweeter than the walk with the Lord in closeness. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the living bread. Once you have tasted my bread, me, you will never hunger again. Once you have tasted the living water, you will never thirst again for anything that the devil offers you. That's how you maintain it, so that you can keep on experiencing spiritual health. Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Because in the time of the Old Testament, as a national witness, the Lord will bless them spiritually by also blessing them physically. Because without the land, they don't have a nation. That's why God promised them in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, two very long chapters that you need to study. And then you will realize that this is for the national witness and not for the church witness. And if anyone were to tell you otherwise, he will be giving you another gospel that will condemn you, whereby you will be walking around physically healthy but spiritually dead. Do not misinterpret scripture. What was meant for the nation of Israel as a national witness, for without the land, they are not a nation. And so when God blesses them spiritually, God also promised them physical blessing. And that's why God says, if you obey my word, if you learn how to honor me with your substance, your women will never be barren. But if you disobey me and live in sin and dishonor me with your substance, and you bow down to idols, where you become carnal and you love mammon and you do not hate mammon and love God, then drought will come, pestilence will come, your women will be barren. That means God will curse you and curse the land. Those who say this is for us today, then you must take the whole package, you must take the curses. So anyone in your church who is married and the wife is barren, you got to walk up to her face and tell her you are cursed by God. You dare to say so? You don't just simply take all the blessings and do not take the curses. For the land, the national witness, both applied. And so when God says, when you honor me with your substance, that means you live in obedience to my word. I will keep my side of the covenant. Your barns will be filled with plenty. No pestilence, no locusts, no disease. Your presses shall burst out with new wine. That means every time when it is harvest of the vineyard, your vines will be full of juicy grapes. I guarantee all you need to do is to obey me and honor me with your substance by the fear of God in your heart. Run away from evil and you will experience my blessing, my personal closeness with you. And it is true today. The Lord will never lie to us. Jesus says to us, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I will be with you always. All you need to do is to do my work, my will, according to how I have saved you, called you, and left you behind to do. Why would I not hold your hand and help you and guide you and make you a tremendous blessing to your family whom I have given to you to lead to Christ? Why would I not make you a tremendous blessing to God's children in the church as you serve him, which is exactly why I have saved you and left you behind and given you the Holy Spirit to do exactly this spiritual work and be a spiritual blessing? All I ask of you is to be a healthy, a spiritually healthy Christian. Don't hold on to sin. Don't allow mammon to grip your heart and begin to love mammon again. Love God and hate mammon. That's how you honor God with your substance. And God will be more than happy to make you a blessing everywhere you go, in school, at work, in church. Can you imagine that? To be a great blessing to a sinner that can help him get out of hell into heaven. All God wants is to be spiritually healthy. Get rid of sin. Run to God. Walk close to Christ. Once you are in sin, you run far. That's why one of the first symptoms of a person who is running away and holding on to sin is his lack of desire for Bible study and for worship. He stopped coming to church. He wants to run away from the Lord because he is ashamed. The Lord is holy. He is not. He dare not come. But when a person departs from evil, only way to depart from evil, wash them by the blood of our Savior, he becomes holy, he runs to the Savior, and he will never let go. And he wants to maintain this closeness. Every time he sins, he repents. The moment sin begins in his inner man, the lust comes, he repents straight away. He doesn't want to depart from the Lord. He wants to depart from evil. He wants to maintain his spiritual health because he has tasted how sweet and how wonderful it is to walk close to the Lord, to draw nigh unto him, and to have him draw nigh unto me. In prayer, in reality, you never walk alone. You just talk to him. You never stop talking to him. The moment you wake up, you hear his voice by reading scripture. And then throughout the day, you keep on communing with him. When you struggle and you fall into sin, you repent straight away. Is this your life? This is the life that God wants for all his children, not for some super Christian, all his children. Be a healthy Christian. Because that's exactly what God has sent Jesus Christ to save us and to make us become. Not sickly, but healthy. What will make us sick? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When sin remains, get rid of sin, and you are healthy again. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our heart, O Lord, and may thy Holy Spirit bring conviction. And may the word of everlasting life sanctify every heart, helping us to make sure first and foremost of our own salvation and how important and needful it is as thy blood-bought children to depart from evil with the fear of God in our heart. For we do not want you to be angry with us, O God. For we want to approach thee and to hold on to thee and to run as close as possible. For thou art holy, and we are holy in Christ Jesus. For we have experienced the cleansing power of the blood of our Savior to make us holy. And therefore, O God, help us to maintain it by honoring thee with our substance, so that the blessings that you have bestowed upon us will be experienced by all your children. And when we have tasted how sweet it is to have an intimate close walk with thee, the attractions of the world will grow strangely dim, and therefore the evil one will have no sway over our heart and our lives. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.